Father John, I would like to begin this evening by first and foremost thanking you for all of your hospitality, for all of the graciousness that you have not only afforded me, but I know Father Alan, in not only preparing for our visit today, but in a very special way. I want to thank you and acknowledge the tremendous witness that you give to the priesthood, the zeal that you bring to your pastorates. And I want to not only thank you, but I want to express the deepest gratitude of the clergy of our diocese and the laity and all of the faithful to the exemplary model of which you have embraced your current illness and the cross. They have been sincerely to me and to so many not only inspirational, but modeling what it means to be a servant, what it means to be a disciple, and what it means to be a priest. Thank you, and I want to assure you of our prayers for you and your ministry. God bless you. I would also like to extend a word of gratitude to Father Raniel and to Deacon Jeff, to all of the religious education formation teachers, to the volunteers, to all of our parents and sponsors, and also to our confirmandi tonight. As we thank you, we also offer to our confirmandi our sincere congratulations. This is a wonderful night. It is a magnificent moment in your life. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you to the parents for bringing your children up in the faith and presenting them to the church for this tremendous sacramental moment in their life. And thank you to all who have helped in any way to allow this night to occur through your sacrifices, through your hard work, through your teaching, and through your example. It is deeply, deeply appreciated. God bless you all. Thank you. I had a wonderful opportunity to meet with our confirmandi prior to our service this evening. And I've used, as has been our tradition in the diocese for a while, that opportunity to ask them questions, so that we would not necessarily consume this part of the ceremony with questions. But then after I had an opportunity to ask some questions, I asked them, do you have some questions for me? And I received a question from someone who said, what do you remember about the day of your confirmation? And I sort of laughed and I said, well, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in the homily for the ceremony of confirmation tonight. And I was confirmed in 1981. I know for our young people that seems so long ago. For our older people it says, oh my goodness, it's how I felt when I asked them when they were born. And I was in ninth grade. And I was confirmed by Bishop Gaughan, the auxiliary bishop of our diocese at that time. And Bishop Gaughan had come to my home parish of St. Martha in Leechburg. And at that time, the bishops went to each individual parish. But in many instances, particularly with smaller parishes, there would be multiple years of confirmandi. So in our group, we had young people who were in 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th grade receiving confirmation. And I remember that Bishop Gaughan came down into the congregation just like this. And he was walking up and down the steps, and Father John knew Bishop Gaughan very well. Bishop Gaughan was quite an energetic type of person. And he was asking questions. And I think all of us, particularly the adults among us, have had opportunities when we ask questions where we're sort of anticipating either the answer or maybe more times, we're anticipating that we're not going to get the answer we want, and we're already one step ahead in trying to bring the person to whom you're asking the question to the right answer. And as Bishop Gaughan is flailing around the middle altar at St. Martha's, we had two murals on the side wall depicting the life of St. Martha, our patron. On the one side was a beautiful depiction that comes to us from St. John's Gospel of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus is standing there, and he's calling Lazarus forth, and Lazarus is coming out of the tomb, and Martha and Mary are standing there beside Jesus. On the other side of the wall was the great depiction of Martha serving Jesus at table, and Mary sitting very contemplatively at her feet, at Jesus' feet. And Bishop Gaughan was using the opportunity to use these two murals depicting our patron as a catechetical moment. And so he screams out and he comes to me, and I was sitting right about where Francis, and he says, "Larry, Larry, who is St. Martha?" And I know in his mind he was not expecting me to answer in this way. And I said, "A friend of Jesus." And he went, "Yes!" I got the right answer. I said, and all I could think of, young men and women, was, that was my question for the night. Boy, was I wrong. Like a dentist, he wanted to drill, so he kept asking a question. You tried to stumble a little bit. But he said, "Yes, a friend of Jesus." And, you know, as I'm here tonight, first time celebrating confirmation as the bishop of the Diocese of Greensburg, that question that I was asked earlier tonight is one that I have been thinking about in preparation for tonight's celebration. What do you remember about your own confirmation? And I might ask that question to each and every one of you that are in the congregation. And I would hope for our young confirmandi who are here today that tonight will be filled with many wonderful memories of this magnificent moment in your sacramental life. But most importantly, maybe we hearken back in thinking about what Bishop Gaughan asked me. Who was St. Martha? A friend of Jesus. We all know how important friendships are in our lives. We all know that good friendships can not only help to support us in good times and in bad, but how good friendships can help to mold us for a lifetime. How they can be an inspiration for us, and how in the most positive way, good friendships can make us even better people. And my dear confirmandi, tonight, I'd like you to think about this night as not only a very special moment in your sacramental life, for which tonight, as you received the sacrament of confirmation, you complete your Christian initiation into the church. But I would hope, too, that as we pray this beautiful consecratory prayer that we will all hear in a few moments, and we talk about those sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit coming down upon this group of young people, I would hope that we make our hearts even more open, and that as you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, what it is for you is another important step in your relationship with Christ, in making him even a deeper friend, a greater confidant, a mentor, someone who you can turn to in every moment and every season of your life. You will find no greater friend. You will find no more faithful of a friend. You will find no more of a devout friend than that in Jesus Christ. But also, as you know, in the friendships that you have already made, some of them I'm sure are very strong, and some of them already very long, at least in the percentage of your years of life, You know that there's certain things that are important to keep those friendships vibrant and alive. Communication is very important. We all know that. Communication not only allows us to know what is going on in each other's lives, but is the way in which we come to see, understand, and know how much Christ loves us. We communicate with Christ in one very important way. Not through a text, not through an email, not even primarily through a letter. We communicate with Christ through our prayer life. And if we are going to keep Christ our friend, and if we are going to allow Christ to be the best friend we have, we must be people of prayer. And for us as Catholics, we know and believe and profess that the most powerful prayer we have is the sacrifice of the Holy Mass. The perfect prayer in which we offer God worship and honor, the perfect prayer in which we bring all of our needs before Him, the perfect prayer in which all of the prayers of the faithful are brought together at the foot of this altar and through the actions of the priest are offered up in perfect sacrifice to the Father. That is why not only our participation, but our regular attendance at Mass is so important. The Eucharist strengthens us, it nourishes us. It is our way not only of communicating with God and God communicating with us, but as that great friend, God gives us His very self. We've all been in situations, haven't we, where we've had a wonderful friend take the time to sit and listen with us. We've had that special friend who just knows us better than ourselves. We've had that friend that will say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I was planning to do that, but I'll spend that time with you. Or take your time. Or let me come over. Let me do this for you. At every Mass, Jesus gives us His very self in His body and in His blood. He gives us the grace of the Eucharist. And so as you, our confirmandi, have been receiving that gift of the Eucharist as your second sacrament of initiation, you come before Him now and you say to the Lord, thank you for what you have given me. And now tonight, as you even give me more through the outpouring of this Holy Spirit, I want to give myself more completely to you. One of the other things that I remember very vividly of my confirmation, and I don't know if we could even do this today, or certainly it would not be normative, but I always smiled because I came from a small parish. We had three parishes in the town, and as many of you know, in southwestern Pennsylvania, many of our parishes were founded from the different ethnic people who came as immigrants, and I came from one of the smaller ethnic parishes that were founded by Slovak immigrants. So most of the people in our parish, at least historically, had Slovak background, and we were considered a national parish, not the territorial parish up on the hill. And so we didn't have as many people, and already at my time, we didn't have as many young people. And I was an altar server after I'd received First Holy Communion. And so I'd served a lot, and being in ninth grade, our pastor said to me, you're going to serve confirmation. I said, but I'm getting confirmed. He said, well, what's the problem? He said, you'll serve and get confirmed. And I sort of smiled at that. And I thought, well, Bishop's not going to like this. So the pastor went up and he said, these two men of the six servers, they're also getting confirmed, so confirm them at the end. And the bishop said, that's great, I'll do that. I thought, where's the bishop? He should be advocating. We should be in the pew. And so I laughed. We were holding the holy oil for all of the people getting confirmed. And then I'm thinking, you know, everyone's coming up in beautiful procession. There's sponsors behind them. They're all in their suits and their red ties. And I'm in my cassock and surplice. And right at the end, Bishop says to me, Get in front of me, I'll confirm you. So I step down, my sponsor runs across the parish, puts his arms on my shoulder, I get confirmed. Next thing I know, I'm washing the bishop's hands. And I sort of laugh about that, but when I think about it, what does confirmation call us to do? It's really the transition, really, into Christian service. It's about fulfilling the corporal and spiritual works of mercy by now actively living your faith, by participating in the life of the church, in the life of the greater community. I was teasing some of our confirmandi tonight. I was asking them, I said, you know, what's an influencer? I love this new position in social media. Have some of you heard about influencers and what influencers do? I'm amazed at that. And so I was telling them, when we think about influencers in social media, their whole role is to what? Draw people to certain blogs, to certain sites, to whatever it might be for the advertisers to get more revenue, whatever it might be to build up hits and views and all of those things. Well, that's what we're called to be and what confirmation helps us to do. We're now called to be influencers. We're called to draw people to the church, to Jesus Christ. We're called to live our faith and to express that faith in word and in deed. I can't tell you, I was telling Father John before Mass began tonight, I can't tell you how magnificent and how wonderful it feels to stand in front of a congregation that is so young. It's wonderful. It's vibrant. It's a real beautiful sign of hope, and it's a sign of future life. But my dear friends, we can't just sit in the pew tonight. Although it is wonderful and magnificent to be here, and I'm so glad everyone is sitting in the pew tonight, and we have a wonderful celebration, one of the largest I'm going to have this fall. But we must take what God gives us. We must increase the gifts that He has showered upon us, and using those gifts of time and talent and treasure, we must influence others so that they can come to see and to know and to love and to serve Jesus Christ. That is our vocation, the common vocation that we all share. And it is the work we have to do. It's the work that is entrusted to us. And Jesus always reminds us that He gives us what we need for the moment to accomplish the task at hand. All of you know it's a lot easier and it's a lot more effective to have the tools you need to do the job. And you know, that's what confirmation is about. Christ is pouring out on all of you tonight, our confirmandi. You are receiving all that you will need. This grace that comes to you through the Holy Spirit tonight is not a magical moment that is just for a moment. It is the grace that is poured out upon you that flows into symbolically a reservoir of grace that throughout your life you can go to and draw from like a spring, like a well, in times especially of dryness and thirst. That grace does not leave you, but it settles into your hearts, into your bones, and into your very marrow. And as you know, as Father John knows, and as he has modeled for us, in those moments when the Lord asks us to carry a cross, we draw from the wellsprings of the graces that our life has received and that we have been the beneficiaries of. That's Catholic sacramentality. Not magic, but an incarnational theology that allows us to be united with Jesus Christ for every season, every time, and every moment of our life. That is how He is a friend, not just in fair times, but He is a friend forever. So my dear confirmandi, who is Jesus? Jesus is our friend, but He is a friend who is with us forever. He is walking with us. He is encouraging us. He is strengthening us. My prayer for you tonight is that as you receive this sacrament of confirmation, that the Lord will not only open up through the power of his grace a new and beautiful insight into your hearts, but I encourage you, I ask you, I invite you to allow this moment to be a moment that changes your life, that allows you as a disciple of Jesus to move into the future, a future that only God in his infinite wisdom and providence knows how will end, but a beginning that is just starting for each and every one of you. And to this wonderful young congregation, you are the church, you are the future. I ask you to allow that friendship of Christ to touch every part of your being, to allow it to transform you, to allow it to reevaluate the priorities of your lives, to allow that friendship to make you more charitable, more merciful, more loving. In doing that, I think we all come to a greater understanding that this third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that comes down upon us, that came down upon Christ himself at his baptism, is that same Holy Spirit that burns as it did on the apostles and the Blessed Mother's head, that fire on that first Pentecost. That same Holy Spirit from whom descended like a dove on Jesus at his baptism, that's the same Holy Spirit, no different, the third person of the Blessed Trinity that comes to us tonight and comes to these young people, changes them forever, is with them forever. What a treasure, what a gift, what a humbling opportunity. Today we celebrate a beautiful feast in the life of the church. Today is the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the powerful Mother of God, our most powerful intercessor, the patron of this parish church. Let us ask Mary, as she is born into time, and as her yes allows Christ to be born into time and take on flesh, that this descent of the Holy Spirit now upon these people and that Spirit that has come upon us may always allow us to say yes to God's will. I'd like to conclude tonight with a prayer I think we can all pray, and an appropriate one for today's feast day, the Hail Mary. And I'd like in a special way to offer that prayer tonight for you, Father John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.